This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, take you behind the curtain here on Dukes and Bell. Carl's off today. Chris is filling in. Tomorrow, guys, we'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Piedmont. Come on down. I was texting with Steak today during the steakhouse cha-cha. Not sure if he's got stuff with his kid. I'm like, I just leave your kid. Somebody can pick him up and let him do soccer. You come to do the show with us for an hour or two. But Steak was thinking about coming in and having some fun with us at Twin Peaks. We'll see what happens. Otherwise, I'll just do the steak impression for a few segments. But we're hanging out here at Hooters in Cumberland, and Chris is in for Carl. We were just looking at the numbers. Look at the numbers. And I'm like, all right, the Falcons definitely have enough for their draft class. They actually have some more money if they want to do some more minor moves. What's the best guess right now in our cap space?
Yeah, it's looking like they have somewhere around 14 mil to spend. That now includes, because the new league year started,
right,
that bump. So whereas before, I think they had around 8 or 9, and then they made some moves, lost a little bit, but then they gained it back once the new league year kicked in.
Right.
And that $10 million bonus for Kirk Cousins, again, just to remind everybody, is for 2026,
gotcha,
not 2025, so it doesn't come off the books right now.
Understand. And as we said earlier, talking with Joe Patrick, yeah, yesterday a lot of folks excited that teams are talking to us, or are they? Who knows? I mean, still don't believe anybody's going to trade for Kirk Cousins, but as Carl said, you hold on to him, you push it to the limit. And you see how far you can go before the camp starts, that somebody comes looking for a quarterback, and otherwise you just have to eat it, as Weird Al would say. Hey, man, right now let's talk about the dogs. Yeah, man, about a half hour away from tip between Gonzaga and the Georgia Bulldogs. We've been going round and round looking at the matchups, and certainly there's, a lot of things that folks around the betting world look at, and they feel that, you know, maybe Gonzaga, the experience, the brand, that's why they're getting more juice nationally. And Georgia certainly can beat a Florida, can beat a Kentucky, beat a St. John's earlier this year, but can they put it together? Can Mike White handle the pressure? Can his guys keep it together for 40 minutes? Can you go without those dreaded scoring droughts, which watch teams just take it and cut into Georgia's leads when they blew games this year, whether at home or away?
Yeah, we went back and looked at their last, like, 5 or 6 games earlier in the show just to see what they were averaging, and they had a good – I mean, they were scoring in the 70s and 80s in almost every game, Mike, so they were competitive, but it's the end of games. Are they able to, with Mike White leading the charge and Asa Newell and Silas Demery Jr., are they able to command the end of a game against a tough opponent like Gonzaga? And I feel like that's why they get the 6.5-point edge, because I think this game's going to be close, Mike. Don't get me wrong, but my concern is in the final 5 minutes, Mark Few being able to do something that Mike White just can't do.
The model that simulates every Division I college basketball game 10,000 times. Have you seen this one?
No.
The model produced, the different brackets. The model has dialed on – this is from an article from – this is Sporting News. Mm-hmm. And the model has dialed in on Georgia versus Gonzaga, revealed its picks and predictions. Now, you got to go to a paywall to see this.
Oh.
So they're kind of teasing me. But basically what the computer thinks is Gonzaga's going to win. And Gonzaga's going to win by more than 6.5.
Yeah, and the over-under, if anybody cares about that sort of thing, is 150. So an average to slightly above average right. scoring game in this one.
But again, as Kenny Mayne used to say, the games are not played on computers, they're played inside televisions.
Well, that's right.
And so we're going to hopefully be able to step up. And as you said, you've been talking a lot about Silas Demery being able to do his thing. And Blue Kane and all these other guys. But Asa Newell's going to have a big – I don't see any way they win without him having a big day.
No, you absolutely are going to need him to be the best. All these guys, though, Mike, every single player on this team, you cannot shrink in this moment. And the one thing that Mark Few brings that Mike White just doesn't have right now with these guys is a calming presence and an influence and experience in these big games. Like, this is nothing for Mark Few and his guys right now. This is just getting the feet wet into the tournament as they make deep runs seemingly almost every single year. Right. For Georgia, Mike, this is the complete opposite. This is the end of a 10-year playoff drought.
Right, and again, Georgia has hired some really mediocre coaches at the end of the run. Tom Crean had nothing going on. You know, we've talked going all the way. It all started, I mean, you go back to, like, you know, when Tubby left to go take the Kentucky job, and then Ron Jersa. That was, all due respect to Coach Dooley, was just an uncompelling hire.
That's
his assistant, and that went nowhere. Herrick was exciting, but of course, you weren't playing by the rules. And then you just had this string of coaches that just couldn't get the job done. And it just, as a Georgia fan, you see, and you and I have talked about this, it's been Auburn, it's been Alabama. Tennessee's always been good. It's always been Kentucky, and you know, Tennessee has certainly been around, but there's all these teams that are able to be football factories and basketball factories, and Georgia just can't seem to do it. That's why I've been kind of leaning into Mike White to be more than just another one of these, you know, Dennis Felton or Mark Fox or Tom Crean. They were going to move on from him at Florida. Their coach who took over him is doing better than he ever did.
Much.
So that's why I'm like, okay, let's go. Step up.
Well, Mike, here's the thing, too. I don't know if you've been hearing
You're three games over 500 for your career at Georgia in an era where you can make a phone call and get a star in here if you've got the checkbook.
Well, you should be able to.
You're Georgia. Thing. I mean, yeah. This isn't Pudwacker State.
No, you should be able
And I'm sure Pudwacker State has a tremendous NIL package.
Here's the thing, too. I've seen a lot of these experts pick Florida to win the whole thing because they feel like Florida is actually the most complete team
yes.
top to bottom in the country.
Right.
So you talk about in your own divisions, in your own conferences, you got to be able to play with the rest of the pack. Here's a stat, Mike, that unfortunately does not favor the Bulldogs that well. The other Bulldogs, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, they're 9-4 in non-conference play this year.
Yeah.
So they're not coming into this thing worried about, like, oh, they're right next to us, 9-8. No. The Georgia is the one under the spotlight this time around that are the underdogs and that are going to need to prove themselves.
Right. Now, Georgia, strength of schedule, you know, week in, week out, playing in the SEC is different than what Gonzaga plays. But Gonzaga, to Chris's point, always plays in the big out of conference, out of West Coast, WCC tournament action. They obviously, you know, St. Mary's, we saw that game. It's not as good as Gonzaga's been in the past. But they're a team that scores a ton of points. By now, most of you guys have handicapped it. They're averaging 86.6 a game, second best in the nation. Georgia's had a really good defense throughout the year. So they're going to have to be really good. Look, Georgia, St. John's, Houston, these are teams that, you know, they can't stay in these games with defense. But this afternoon, you're going to have to be basically letter perfect with your other guys. AC Newell needs a monster day.
Houston, by the way, came out and made a statement. I know it's 116. They doubled them. They only gave up 40 points for an entire game in the opening round, which is, as you just said, their hallmark. So they're basically saying, hey, we're not here. We're not blanking around. We're going to come out of this thing round one and fire.
Yeah, man. Auburn's leading by 10, by the way, over Alcorn State. You got Alabama State, I should say. McNeese is up on Clemson 25-11. VCU just getting underway with BYU. There's another one that's kind of a toss-up. Creighton took out Louisville. As I told Chris, no one gives a crap about your brackets.
Nope.
Purdue handled High Point, NC High Point. So it's mostly, for the most part, it's chalk with the exception of Louisville.
Yeah.
But Clemson's got to get it in gear. And you kind of feel they will. I can't listen to Clark Kellogg, who knows more about this than all of us put together, loves Clemson. I can't believe Clemson's going to go out in round one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously it's still early and you got 3 minutes left in the first
but
half.
I mean, Mike, I think he scored 11 points through 17 minutes of action.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going
on. I don't know what's going on here. This is not good. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on Georgia and Gonzaga, 435. 650, you got Wofford and Tennessee. That should be another cakewalk. I'm looking at 7-10, though, Mike. I'm looking at Arkansas, Kansas.
Yeah, some guys have Kansas. I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. Computer. It might have been Bo Johnson on the Steakhouse. Computer likes Kansas. Again, who's programming the computer? What are the parameters? Nerds! Shut up, nerd.
Yeah.
I would like to see Calipari advance, but Calipari, like if it gets late and his X's and O's, that's not his thing.
No, it's not.
Unless he's got guys going right to the NBA who can just basically boys against, men against boys, he's not going anywhere. We've known that.
Yeah. I'd like to see it. Just because I like the chaos.
Right.
I like the chaos a little bit.
But I don't want to see Clemson go down because I took Clark Kellogg to heart, and I've got Clemson going to the Sweet 16. So I need some help here. Hey, man, yeah, we're talking basketball now. Time to switch to football. Not good.
No.
Not good. If you missed it, you may have already seen it. If you're a dog fan, you probably got the notification. Nitro Tuggle, who was thinking about maybe leaving the program, maybe you should, is now indefinitely suspended. He got pinched early this morning. Speeding. Meanwhile, lineman Marquise Easley got suspended indefinitely as well. His incident happened, I guess it was Monday, according to Mark Weiser of the Athens Banner-Herald. Dog Nation's got an article, but Mark's got to have the story on it. Tuggle's a sophomore from Indiana, 8 games, 3 passes for 34 yards for the Bulldogs. Obviously expected to be a bigger piece, but maybe not with the transfer portal guys they're bringing in. But Nitro Tuggle, great name, making bad decisions.
Yeah, and Mike, again, as we've mentioned earlier in the show, Kirby is doing, despite what it looks like because of the results, unfortunately, Kirby is doing everything within his power to try to change this narrative.
Right, but he also doesn't want to have this play out in public.
No.
Because remember, last year they never publicly announced what happened with ETN.
Right.
Right, with Harris, that whole situation. I remember during the SEC media days, like, everybody wants to know how long the suspension is. Well, you sort of suspended ETN without suspending him.
Right.
Didn't play in the Clemson, but you didn't want to give people the satisfaction. You got to have transparency. But I see all these texts and tweets coming in with guys who are saying, well, Mike, Chris, Georgia now, the playing field, it's so different. So it's always been like this. I think that you can be not a disciplinarian, but just simply doing – this isn't even discipline. It's doing the right thing. You've got to send a message. You've got to cut these guys.
No, yeah. But
everyone says, oh, you can't because there's such a fine line now with the transfer portal because you don't have the depth. You don't have anything close to the depth you've had when you went back-to-back national championships.
No one. And I mean no one is crying in their beer over Georgia. They're still going to have five-star behind five-star behind five-star. If you have to make a couple of tough cuts, Mike Bell, so be it. Georgia does not have the grace that other programs have in this situation because of what happened. They're
right.
Not Alabama. They're not Clemson. They're not these other powerhouse programs that, of course, have their own issues going on too. But Georgia will always be under a different magnifying glass because of the deaths that happened.
McNeese, by the way, now up 18 over Clemson.
Wow.
With under about a minute to go right now, minute 10.
Uh-oh.
Yikes. So, I mean, look, we've seen how college basketball works. Teams make runs, right?
That's a big run.
But this was the 5-12 that everyone said, no, don't worry about this one. But that's why people love the 5-12. You know, there's a number of those. Now, didn't you say last year was all chalk on 5-12? There were no upsets, I want to say. I thought I remember hearing Carl say that. Either way, this year, this is interesting. See what happens with Clemson. Clemson, now again, as I said earlier on Twitter, check out the tweet, by the way. Some guy says you should be a meme. As long as I can make some money off this. Basically, the same goes for your golf game. The same goes for your fantasy football team. Nobody gives a blank. Same thing goes for your brackets.
We're all going through the same thing.
Hey, man, this hour of Dukes and Bell with Chris and for Carl brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, we're going to see what's going down in Charlotte. Now, that's a team which is invested on both sides of the line, trying to see what their plan is going to be with the draft. Are they going to snake us potentially for I don't know. Could be two dogs. I mean, but one may go to Carolina off the board before the Falcons pick at 15. Travis Hancock works at our sister station from Mac and the Bone on FNZ. He's going to talk a little bit about Duke, talk some tournament, but also see what they're doing with the Panthers as well.
They may have had the best offseason so far, Mike. They've made a lot of
And they
of
got their quarterback. I mean, it was weird at first, and the owner was meddling. Maybe the owner's learned to keep his nose out of it, talking about Tepper and the QB situation. We'll find out what's going up there and also preview if Duke can make it work now that they got their guard back, but still dealing with some injuries. It's all coming up live from Hooters, Cumberland, Dukesville.
It is Dukes and Bell. Chris Thomas in for Carl today. Mike Bell is adjusting his headset, and he is ready to go.
My coil was all curled up.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to let it unwind. Man, yeah, it's cold today. I thought spring had sprung. Man, I'm glad I didn't do that planting last weekend. Homeowner guy. Yeah, man, it is chilly, and we're nice and warm inside here at Hooters. We are at the Cumberland location, Cobb Parkway. We've got tickets for more action coming college basketball-wise, to State Farm. Capiche? So if you want to go see some hoops next weekend, we got seats for you. Come and get registered. We also got tons of swag from Hooters. Coming up, we got some guy talk. But right now, on the WaitForIt.com hotline, from our sister station up the road in Charlotte, Travis Hancock from Mac and the Bone on FNZ. Talk some. Well, first, let's talk some ACC. We'll get into what's going on with Carolina. Travis, what's going on with Clemson?
So we can talk about what's left of the ACC, I guess, which is not a right. whole lot, apparently, pending what happens with Clemson. This is not good. It's one thing for Louisville to not perform well against a pretty good team in Creighton, but for Clemson to completely no-show against McNeese, this is stunning, to say the least, and a bad look for the conference when, you know, Clemson's got the guards, they got the vets, they've got the pedigree off of last year. A lot of people, myself included, thought they could equal where they were going last year. But, man, what a rough start for the conference outside of what North Carolina did in the play-in.
Well, speaking of North Carolina, there is now a growing momentum to root on the Tar Heels as they make it into the tournament here. What is realistic for them? What can they do after a fairly down season?
Well, it seems like the other day, you know, we were questioning, hey, can they utilize the negativity that surrounds them? Can they benefit off of that and have an us-against-the-world mentality? And that's how they came out against the San Diego State team that had not allowed that many points in regulation as they did to Carolina since 2006. So that tells you how prolific the offensive performance was. And I like the draw, I think, of all the SEC teams that they could have been matched up with. There's plenty of them in that seed range. They can match up with Ole Miss. And then I don't love Iowa State with their injuries and potentially a matchup with them if they get by Lipscomb. So, you know, it looks like they could be a team that potentially has six Sweet 16 potential, and we'll see from there. But right now in the ACC, I'm afraid to make any predictions because I'm very off right now on my assessment so far in these ACC teams.
Right. So we know that Malik Brown has had a number of injuries. You know, the shoulder thing looked really weird and all that. I mean, the fact that he go to the hospital, Cooper Flagg looks like he's 100%. I mean, he might be probably 75, but he's saying the right things.
Yeah.
So you feel that Duke can punch their ticket all the way?
Yeah. I think that the conference aside right now, I think Duke's draw is favorable. I like the 8-9 matchup. If they would have had Gonzaga or – you know, Creighton or UConn, even though I know UConn's not good. I just would not. I think Mississippi State, Baylor is good for them. I think of all the two seeds, I know Bama can really score the ball, but the other two seeds are Michigan State, St. John's, Tennessee, teams that can get really physical with some of the young players, especially Cooper Flagg. Alabama, they want to run and gun, and I think Duke can play that style as well. Duke can play physical this year if they need to, but I like Bama for them as the two seed, if that's what it is, as opposed to the other two seeds. So anything short, I think, of a championship game appearance would be very disappointing for those that support Duke. If you get there and you're playing Alabama or Auburn or Florida and you lose that game, well, then we'll see what happens there. But not getting to a championship game, falling short of that, I think would be a disappointment for how good this Duke team is.
What were the keys for John Shire since taking the job to get back to this point?
Well, he's really kind of changed college sports a little bit, because in the year in waiting where Coach K was going on his farewell tour, he realized where college basketball was going, and he talked to Rachel Baker on the side about where the program was going when he took over, and she's now the GM for Duke basketball. And you think about the last couple of years, all these GMs in sports, it kind of started with John Shire at Duke, and now everyone's trying to do that now, and it makes a lot of sense. So I think noticing ahead and having a vision for him not having to do all the NIL stuff on his own, and she handles all that. He identifies the talent, and then she handles the NIL and all that sort of stuff. But it's also going to the portal and adding vets to go with this great recruiting. Coach K and Shire and the crew, they were doing a great job of assembling a lot of young talent, but they were always young. It was always like one senior, two maybe.
Right.
It was, but now they can utilize the portal and their recruiting. And we've always said that they can never blend together veterans. We always thought it was like if they could get guys to come back, but obviously now it's going to be a lot of – the portal guys with the young guys, they'd be very, very scary for the rest of the country. And starting to see that right now of the blending of the roster that we've talked so much about.
No, and one thing for certain, I mean, we say it all the time with Georgia Tech, if the fans are passionate,
yeah,
they open up the checkbooks, man. They can compete with anybody, whether it's football or basketball. Obviously, the same goes for Duke, everybody on Tobacco Road. Hey, before we get to Carolina, and if you're just tuning in, guys, we're live at Hooters for the tournament. It's Travis Hancock from our sister station FNZ up in Charlotte. What is the reaction up there about Belichick with the Tar Heels? I read that ESPN article a couple of weeks ago. Showed a lot of dysfunction amongst the boosters, the board, the athletic director, Bubba Cunningham. But either way, is this going to work up there?
It doesn't seem real still. It feels like we're living in some weird world where Bill Belichick went back to college. If you were not paying attention to sports over the last handful of months, and then you realize not only is Bill Belichick in college, he's at North Carolina, and he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend, you'd say, I'm sorry, what movie is this? Like, what are we doing here? So it's still even odd to see him, like, at the pressers and talking spring football. I mean, I guess it's good for, as you can imagine, all of us in talk radio, and it's going to be a major deal. So it's not a bad thing for us, but my whole thing has been, you know, is this something he truly wants at heart? Is this approve it to the NFL guys that sort of shunned him, and he says, oh, I'll still go, coach. So how long does he want to do it for? I thought he'd give it a year, and you never know when the NFL would come calling back. Apparently, he's alienated a lot of people, so I don't know. But I thought he would give it a year. If they have success, you know, they would come calling again. So I don't know how long it's going to last, but I can't wait to see it. And you're right. It was dysfunctional as hell trying to figure out what was going on in that time period, because some people in the athletic department wanted him and some people didn't want it. It was like a show on HBO that I'd watch on Sunday nights. It was insane. So I compare him right now to I call him Bill the Thrill. It's kind of a takeoff from Frank the Tank. It's like Frank the Tank in old school, where he's gone back to college. He's bringing pizza to the dorms and the frats. And I don't know what's going on, man. My mind is still blown by this whole thing.
All right, so with the Panthers, I was reading an article today, Travis, that people were putting out their best teams of the offseason so far, and more than one vote went to the Carolina Panthers. Recap for us a little bit what they've done so far and just how much they've improved the squad.
Well, they went hard after Milton Williams, who ended up going to the Patriots from the Eagles for big money. They did not get him, but you know their defense was historically bad last year, so we thought the whole time, is it better to spend a ton of money on, like, one or two guys or try to fix it with multiple guys? Like a baseball team, do you go for one home run hitter or do you try to lengthen out the lineup and try to get four or five or six guys? And that's what they've done on defense. They added Turk Wharton from the Chiefs, who was a starter, kind of an unknown guy up front, but he's there now. They added Bobby Brown from the Rams to play next to a returning Derrick Brown. So they've added a lot of bodies up front. The edge position, still very much in need, and that's what we're thinking through the draft that they'll do. They haven't done anything at wide receiver. It looks like they're going to roll with the same group as last year, which is kind of one of the question marks. What we're really excited about is they brought back the entire offensive line. Like every member of the line is back for an offensive line unit that performed much better last year. But they had Rico Dowdle, 1,000-yard back from the Cowboys, to pair with Chuba Hubbard. So you can kind of see the identity that with the lack of maybe a number one wideout, they're really going to run the football, and that's going to be their identity. They're going to go kind of old school, smash mouth, rely on the offensive line, you know, help Bryce out with the run game. So we're excited, although I did see a power ranking the other day. It said the Panthers moving on up, and I said, oh, my gosh, how far are they going? Like, where are they going? And it moved them up to 29th in the league. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's a start, I guess. All right, they were 30th before that. So it's all about the climb, right? So there we go.
Yeah, you know, my dad always said, if you have no expectations, you can never be disappointed. But
yeah,
I will say this, Travis.
Panthers move up. Oh, really? Yeah, one spot. Thanks.
Hey, look, you guys, you put put a ton of points on the board. I mean, we talked about Bryce Young and, you know, was Tepper. Yeah, Tepper was meddling, it seemed like, and all the nonsense. But Bryce, he's got to be getting confidence off of this last season. And our defense, my God, I mean, we hired the wrong defensive coordinator. We got a coach who couldn't manage the clock. We had this debacle with Cousins, who was still trying to get untethered. We're excited about our offense, but we don't know what's going to go on defensively. By the way, real quick, while we got you, I don't know what you remember of Jordan Fuller, but we signed him. He's had a lot of injuries. Did he do anything of substance for Carolina last year at the safety?
No, he really didn't, and that was one of the problems. They tried Dane Jackson and Jordan Fuller, and they didn't really add a whole lot. So, yeah, I know that he came in with more of a reputation than he played with. So, yeah, we saw that signing. The only thing that I remembered of him doing was his mom sang the national anthem at a game late in the season, and he got scratched. He got scratched from the lineup for that game, so it was a very awkward. It was a bad time. Yeah, it was kind of like, this can't be good. So, I mean, he's a depth guy, and hopefully for you guys, he's better than he was here. But he was part of kind of a rotation in the secondary that they needed more of, and that's why they're trying to bulk up more in the secondary right now.
Let me go back and delete my tweet that said this was a good sign.
Yeah, he might be starting for us. So we shall see. All right, before we let you go, what is the temperature in the room on Bryce right now?
Oh, it's night and day from not only a year ago, but where he was a couple weeks into the season. He got a standing ovation at the Hornets game the other night. Yes, the Hornets are still here. I appreciate you guys for caring about us here. He got a standing ovation at the Hornets game, which if you would have said that months ago, you would have been like, wait, Bryce is still there? No, he came in and played. You guys saw him at the end. So much better foot, so much more confident. That was the thing. They had to almost rehabilitate him mentally on the fly. And it was a pretty tremendous job. So the Panthers entered this offseason with the rare time of not trying to find a quarterback, but as I mentioned with the running game and the offensive line, trying to help him out. The focus is all about the defense right now to try to help Bryce. And if they can get that going, they'll be so much better. But, yeah, no, Bryce definitely showed so much more. What an easy kid to root for. Just like, you know, never complains, and there's never an issue with Bryce the person. I can't wait to see Bryce and Penix and the NFC South for a long time, and those guys battle Mayfield. So we know the NFC South hasn't been the best division, but the quarterback play should be very fun to watch here in the next couple seasons.
I'm with you. I always thought the best comp for Bryce Young was Drew Brees, you know, if you could protect him.
Yeah,
because he's accurate. He's a good processor. Just, you know, as you said, you got to build it around him. Hey, man, great catching up. Good intel, man. Not so good about our new safety, Travis Sancock from FNC.
I don't want to go. I got to go watch Clemson now again. So I don't want to hang out.
Man, I'll tell you what. This McNeese State hype man that they did the feature on CBS.
Yeah.
This is no joke. I mean, they came in with some juice. See if Clemson is going to be a big bracket buster, as they say. T, we'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, guys. Appreciate you both. Thank you.
You got it, man. Travis Hancock from our sister station up in Charlotte giving us some good intel. But, yeah, Clemson will get you up to speed on what's going on with the tournament. That would be a major problem for a lot of people's brackets. And we will tell you about the guy that is the hype man, and maybe he is the secret sauce, perhaps, right, for what they're able to accomplish.
Mike, I'm just asking you not to do one thing. Do not go find a piece of paper during the break, hold it up close to your mic, and rip it during the next segment.
I can't guarantee that I won't do that. Also coming up today, got good news from the doctor. I could have fried food.
Hey.
I mean, small portions. We'll explain. Guy Talks coming up next, live from Hooters, baby, Cumberland. Yeah, it's never a good graphic for your program when the CBS folks or TBS put up tournament wins since 2003. Gonzaga, 39. Georgia, 0. And unfortunately, Gonzaga is off to a really good start, and it's exactly what we did not want to see happen. Was it 13-0 right now?
Yeah, and Georgia is turning the ball over like a sieve. Not only can they not make a shot, but they are being sloppy with the basketball.
That's not – I don't know much about basketball, Chris, but that's not a good way to start.
Not a winning formula.
Everything we've mentioned it about three or four times, those kind of runs that Georgia usually has unfortunately fallen into when another team gets hot and they don't score after they built up a lead that then they give up in SEC play. That was my beef against – look, I'm not a fan of Mike White. I think there's a reason why Florida was happy to let him leave, and he's got to step it up. This is why you're here. Okay, you're not here to go get skunked by Gonzaga, and it's back to nowhere land. And then, you know, what are you doing next year? Who's sticking around? What's your portal look like? I mean, it just aggravates me. And I don't know how Georgia fans feel. We got a couple of Georgia fans here at the bar, but it's just, why can't you do what Auburn does? Why can't? Because you don't. You got to go hire really good coaches. Okay. You got to get guys on the way up. You know, like, I know Bruce Pearl, some guys can take him or leave him, but he gets results. Hasn't still brought home the bacon, the ultimate prize. But this is why I get frustrated with George. Hopefully they weather the storm, Chris. But that's why, I mean, I try to temper my enthusiasm.
Well, Bruce Pearl, you mentioned him. His team's doing what they're supposed to be doing right now. They're up 20 on a 16 seed. So this game was supposed to be close. This game was supposed to be hard fought. But right. If you come out and you're on a 13-0 skid to start the game,
right. I mean, look, and I remember Alabama's kind of gone through some of the things that Georgia did. Remember Mark Gottfried was there years ago. They've had some dudes, but Nate Oates is getting the job done.
Yep.
You know, and look, Barnes, even though he always seems to choke in the big one, he's got quality, what he's doing up there at Tennessee. Ole Miss, everybody in the SEC has gotten better. So you're not supposed to get excited as a fan of Georgia to watch you get into the 9-8 and get smoked. So let's go. Make some shots. Get some poise. Do something.
Where's your pride?
I'm not even a – like, I didn't go to school. I'm just – this is where – had this been Tech with Damon Stoddard, I'd be feeling the same way.
Yeah.
Because we put guys – the state of Georgia, we, the royal we put guys in the association. We put guys in major programs. They just never seem to play for Georgia, you know, and recently not as well. Now Georgia Tech had to weather a lot of injuries this year for Coach Dan. But anyway, that's where it stands. Okay. Moving on, earlier we were talking about Clemson, who better get some juice themselves.
Yeah.
Because McNeese State has come out smoking. There's a fun feature. We talked about it earlier in the program. If you missed it, they've got their own hype man, the student manager, Amir Khan, who's just this big, lovable ball of energy. And he literally looks like every team manager you've ever seen for any college basketball program. He's got his own NIL deal. And it was funny. I saw Rusty Manziel was tweeting it earlier. You see McNeese State coming out of their locker room to take on Clemson. And part of his routine as the team manager hype man, he's got the boombox with his B-Dub sponsorship. Yes, he's got a Buffalo Wild Wings sponsorship. And he's coming out and the music's blasting. The guys are all getting into character. And they take that energy and they really put it on to Clemson to start the game. 40-18 now in the second half. Clemson is going to lose this game. And there goes my bracket. I mean, again, no one gives up, but there goes my bracket.
Hey, Mike, nobody cares.
But you know what? This is one thing. If you take a flyer, the 5-12, this was the one thing that Clark Kellogg was confident about in the 5-12. As a matter of fact, he let Clemson go a long way.
Here's the thing. When you have that kind of momentum going for you, it can really translate. And we're watching that happen in real time right now. Like, you may look at some of this stuff and you may scoff and you may laugh a little bit.
Right.
But when your team really rallies around that and it gives you a brand new identity and you capture the national spotlight, Mike, you know who pioneered this thing? Sister Bleepin' Jean a couple
right.
of years ago.
Right, from Loyola,
she
Chicago.
Showed the blueprint right. on how to do this stuff, and this guy's following that exact plan.
Hey, man, tough times for the Dogs right now. You can come by Hooters and register to win tickets to watch more college basketball as the thing keeps on rolling. It'll be at State Farm. Again, when you don't have the endorsement, you know, you get the deal. There's exclusivity for the, you know. So you can't say what you can't. Would you say not the 15, not the 17?
Yeah, it's not 15. It's not 17.
It's the other thing, and it's sweet. Anyway, there you go. I've said too much. You can register. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. Andy and Randy will have more for you to sign up and win at the Hooters in Kennesaw, guys, tomorrow for middays. Also, we get some really cool Hooters swag, T-shirts, some goodies as well. All right, guys, we've all been frustrated on the golf course. Lord knows I've done it a few times. Yes, I've had issues with anger management. I've thrown drivers. I've thrown wedges, putters. There's a bunch of them down there in south Georgia. I should say south side of town where I live. Braylon, if you want to go in the woods, you'll find a couple of clubs over by Cannon Gate. There's a couple in the woods. Reason I bring this up, different, though, to see a professional do this. Today, down in Inverness, which is a golf course down in Palm Harbor north of St. Pete Clearwater, is a former Auburn Tiger named Patton Kazir. And he is putting on the 15th green. He lines up this putt. It's a par 3, and he misses a 5-foot, 6-inch putt. And he steps towards his ball, slides past the hole. He drops his putter, and then he basically kicks it like a punter, like a drop kick. So he kicks his putter into the air. It flies into the air, and then it lands, and now it's no longer a straight putter you can use to putt. So he's got to go take out one of his wedges. He's got to do his tap-in with a wedge. He's lost his putter for the remaining three holes of the event. And then he withdrew.
Mike, I got two words for you. Woo. Sa.
Yeah, man. So,
you gotta
yeah,
think in the moment.
He was three over par when he said, I'm just going to withdraw. That's a WD on the card. So, anger management, my friend. I got a guy. I got a couple of guys can help you. But it is kind of funny to see the pros look just as goofy as we do. But if you want to go check out the video, Drew Butler has retweeted it as well. I haven't retweeted on mine at Mike Bell ATL. But watch this former Auburn Tiger go, ah, foop, and throws his punter up in the air.
Mike, what do you say? You've personally lost couple of hundred, maybe a grand on golf clubs that you've destroyed.
You got to the worst ever was I was playing with Dave Archer, and we were playing. For, I mean, not to put Archer's business out there. We were playing for some coin.
Sure.
And yeah, it was a pretty new Callaway driver that I literally helicoptered into the woods, down in Destin, you know, in like some marsh. So again,
did you feel better after?
Not really. And I had three wood, and Arch hits 310 off the tee because he's a former NFL quarterback. But that's why anger management is important. Also, taking care of yourself. Give a shout out to my doctor and Dr. Sandra Senna and everybody at Emory's Cardiovascular Center. I got my follow up after having my stent put in a few weeks ago. Had 99% blockage in the Widowmaker, the lateral something something. The LAD is the acronym. You got heart trouble, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, everything sounded good. So it was funny because after I had the procedure, I was joking around that I probably overdid it because the next day I felt so good. I had been having really bad chest pains. I told the doc, I said, not sure what I was supposed to do, but I walked like, you know, 2.5 miles. He goes, well, most people don't do that. So that's on me. But again, thanks to everybody over there and just a really good crew and did great work. And again, we said it at the time, and Carl echoes my sentiments. You know, we got so many guys out there, black, white, young, old. Everybody's macho. Not me. I'm fine. Get yourself checked out. Especially, you know, whether it's, you know, it's cancer. There's so many things that can get you, but the heart's always the number one. So be careful. Get yourself checked out. And, again, I can speak for the guys at Emory. Did a really nice job. Thanks to them. Also, I'm doing shout-outs. You know what I did? I got a new suit today.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I mean, no, thanks to my wife, I lost some weight. It's a nice problem to have. Unfortunately, we lost our boss, our big boss, Rick, lost his father last week. And just an absolute sweet soul. His dad was like in his 90s, beautiful ceremony over in Conyers. But I had to wear, you know, as my father would say, your basic court appearance and church suit. That's what I have. And unfortunately, it was really swimming on me. Kind of looked like the Talking Heads video. You know, you may find yourself, you know. So anyway, I went over to, I was going to drop like Bitcoin, but I got no problem. It's going to wear. I wear suits once,
yeah,
twice a year.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks to Antonio over at Men's Warehouse in Buckhead. I got a nice little, gray, you know, simple gray suit. Got fitted, pulled out some cool ties and everything. So I'm good to go.
Did it make you, when you were wearing the suit, want to go visit Carl in Vegas?
To really mac it out and wear a suit, I've got a bunch of sport coats. Everyone knows the middle-aged man's uniform, untucked dress shirt, sport coat, jeans when you're out in Vegas. I like to go with a V-neck black or gray t-shirt with a sport coat. That's my look. I mean, again, millions of guys do it, but you want to be comfy. But no, the suit, when's the last time you picked up a suit?
Oh, it's got to be.
I haven't thought this is probably 10 years since I picked up a suit.
Yeah, six, 7 years ago,
right.
Probably. Yeah,
but it was great, and so it's slim fit because I've actually can wear one without looking like a stuffed sausage. So thanks to the wife who got me.
When you see some of the guys with the W shape hanging over the belt line.
Well, no, I mean that was it. I knew I had to go get some new duds. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, it's a good problem to have. And Carl and I have joked around about it. Carl's lost some weight. I lost some weight, but when I was getting ready for this funeral last week, I had to take a steak knife to make a hole on the belt. That's when you know you got to pick up a new belt.
It's true.
That's not a very good look, needless to say. But again, first world problems. Hey, man, we're live here at Hooters. Georgia is down 21-3. If you saw this coming, you're not alone. That's why America and Vegas was all over Gonzaga, 6.5-point favorite. Turnovers. The one thing Georgia, I thought, started well with was uniforms. They went with the black, with the cool stripes down the side. But Gonzaga is just beating them at every turn. I don't know, Chris. This is an ugly matchup. About as ugly as Clemson, who's down 21 to McNeese State with 12 minutes, 15 left in that game. Man, this would be something. Now, the 9-8s and the 8-9s are always a toss-up. I don't think anybody had Georgia outside of our listening audience in this tournament, and as far as, you know, Bulldog Nation. But, man, they need to get things cooking because, as we said, Gonzaga, it's not, you can't get down 20 to one of the highest-scoring teams in the country.
Yeah, this one is... barring a miracle here.
Wow, Chris. So here we go. Play the Debbie Downer music, Oren. Now, Chris is always a glass half empty, if you've been listening over the last 4 years. So you're pronouncing this game over?
Yeah.
You're going to say it? Say it. Say it with your chest.
No, I don't.
Say it with your chest.
Georgia's not coming back from down 20, Mike.
Chris says, Georgia, you're a bunch of losers. That's Chris's words, not mine.
I thought this game was going to be close and that Gonzaga would pull it out at the end.
Right.
This is ugly.
So, yeah.
I mean, they made one at the end, Chris, just by a lot more points than probably originally thought. So you're like half right.
Right.
Well, thanks, Oren. I can always count on you to lift my spirits.
You know what? This McNeese State team, now you see these guys as a total Sweet 16 with their hype man, you know, as a 12 seed with this kid, Amir, that has got everybody fired up. Rusty, I'm going to retweet the video because this guy really is has got things fired up in that region. But, yeah, some serious bracket busting. Auburn is, needless to say, stepping up on Alabama State after their amazing buzzer beater just to make it in the tournament.
And, by the way, coming up in less than 5 minutes from now, Mike, the Falcons make another move.
Yes, adding to the roster. We found out they got $14 million in cap space. If you missed our last interview, buddy of ours from our sister station in Charlotte, and I haven't heard the financials on our latest safety.
Not out yet.
He says he's a rotational guy and was not impressive. This is one man's opinion, but these are the same opinions that Carl and I give when somebody leaves us and goes to, like, 49ers. And they asked me, what about Nate Landman? I said, great guy, heart of a lion. You know, his father's from Zimbabwe, but he can't cover in pass offense. You know, pass defense, I should say. So, truth maybe hurts. We'll find out. Talk more about the Falcons. Chris will tell you who the new face is next, live from Mahooters in Cumberland, Dukes of Bell.